Well, let's give it up for a great week of EBX. Yeah. Part of the reason I wanted you to see that is because we had so many great volunteers to make this week of VBX work, and we're so grateful for all the time and energy and a spiritual investment even that you made in this week. In case you missed it then, this week at JAG Church has been all about breaking out. Breaking out. And no, we're not talking about a bad case of adolescent acne. No, we're not talking about an epidemic of measles or chicken pox. We're not talking about busting out of the who's gal. The clink. Breaking out of, you're not hip to all my street lingo. I actually had to look that up. Who's gal? We're talking about when God does something awesome in your life, when God brings you to a new place, a new fresh sense of freedom, of liberty, of new life, who moves you past some barrier that has kept you constrained or shut you down time and time again before, sometimes, maybe even often, by doing something that you would have thought impossible until God stepped in and did it. And all week we've been talking to students about how God breaks out in our lives and breaks out through our lives. It's even one of the names given to God in Scripture, Baal Perazim, the Lord who breaks out. And so I want to wrap up this week of VBX 2019 by telling you that I believe that God is ready. Here's an amen opportunity if you dare to agree with me. I believe that God is ready to break out in your life. I want to help you get there by telling you one of the great breakout stories from the life of Christ. If you have your Bible or you've got it on your phone or whatever, I want you to turn to Mark chapter 10. These scripture verses will be on the projection screen as well. I just want to rehearse together a story that many of you may already know. We call it the story of blind Bartimaeus, but I am hoping that after today you'll see it as the story of breakout Bartimaeus. To jump right in. Here's the setting. Jesus and his disciples are passing through the ancient city of Jericho. Jericho is just a few miles northwest of Jerusalem. It's not too far from where the Jordan River empties into the Dead Sea. And today, it's a Palestinian-controlled city. In Jesus' day, it would have been part of Israel's territory. But all of Israel at that point was occupied by the Romans. And we're just going to jump in and read the story, beginning with Mark 10, a few words into verse 46. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." And throwing his cloak aside, the blind man jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. And the blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," Jesus said, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. All right, that's the story. Most of you know it, but let's go back and just look at it a little bit. Let's start in the middle of verse 46 where Mark says that a blind man, Bartimaeus, meaning son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. And here's why stopping at what seems like a rather obvious statement matters. In ancient cultures, this would have been true of Jesus' world, people with disabilities or perhaps people with an incurable disease or some other malady, if you were blind or lame or a leper, you might well be known not by your name but by your disability, and maybe only by your disability, known simply as the blind man or the leper or the deaf man or the lame man. If you were born with a disability in the ancient world, you may have never even been given a name. I think that's a possibility in the story many of us know from Acts chapter 3, where Peter and John are on their way to the temple at the time of prayer. On their way, they happen across someone the Bible simply describes as a man who was lame from birth. And that description is really all the Bible tells us about this fellow. The man is never identified by name. He's just a man who was lame from birth. You know, the lame man at Gate Beautiful. It's possible that the man was never actually given a name. Now, if you know this story, this is where when the man asks for money, he's a beggar. He asks Peter and John for money. Peter responds with something better. Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Walk. And how many of you know, here's an amen opportunity, that becomes a breakout moment. That becomes a break. When a man who had never walked a day in his life was touched by the power of Jesus, and in a flash, in a moment, was far more than walking. He was walking and jumping and praising God, just causing all sorts of disruption in the temple grounds that day. He broke out, and so can you. It's somewhat interesting about Bartimaeus that he has a name and that he's called by name. And it does increase the likelihood that Bartimaeus was not born blind, but perhaps suffered blindness somewhere along life's way. That he was given a name, here's what I want you to hear, that he was given a name, that he had an identity, that's really the point, and then had life take that identity from him. And I make that point because some of you have had life throw you some real curveballs. You were on your way to a good place in life. You were on your way to becoming the person that you thought you wanted to be, on your way to having the life you thought you wanted to have, and somehow life took a turn you didn't expect, and all that you had hoped for and all that you had worked for and all that you had dreamed of was just ripped away from you. May I tell you that you may think that's it, right? You may think that the score is settled and it's game over, but it isn't. Bartimaeus may have been on his way when blindness struck. And it's true that we really don't know for sure whether he was born blind or otherwise. Bartimaeus may have been headed exactly where he wanted to be headed when his life was derailed by circumstances beyond his control. But I am here to tell you that his current place was not his final place. I'm not sure you're tracking with me today. I'm telling you that his current place was not his final place, that where he was didn't have to be where he stayed, that no matter how over it may have seemed, it wasn't over because God wasn't done. And it isn't over for you either because God's not done with you. If you're still breathing, God's still working. Either way, whether Bartimaeus was born blind or suffered blindness along life's way, I am sure that both Bartimaeus and his parents had not been without hopes and dreams for his life, had not been without a vision for who he could be, for what he might do. But whether from the moment of birth or at some point along the way, Bartimaeus suffered the devastating reality of blindness. And more devastating in his culture, remember, put your first century goggles on here, first century sensibilities. Human life was a lot more fragile and a lot less valued, and the capacity for addressing disabilities medically was far more limited. And the dignity, here's the thing, the dignity that hopefully all of us would ascribe to all people today, regardless of what abilities they may seem to have or lack, the dignity that all of us would ascribe to all people today, because that's who we are. I'm talking to JAG folks right now. You know who we are. You know what we say. We say that here at JAG Church, we value all people as created in the image of God, as valued by Christ at the cost of his life, as worthy of love and service. And that's true whether they look, well, I'm going to preach here for a minute, so get ready. That's true whether they look like us, talk like us, think like us, got here like we did or not, whether you're there or not, I want you to know that JAG Church is there, and that's what we stand for valuing every human being, every human life. That wasn't Bartimaeus' world. In his world, the disabled were damaged goods. They were often left to scrape out whatever existence they could just through the kindness of others. And just as often, they were despised by the world around them in the process. And that was the case for Bartimaeus. Indeed, as he begins to shout out for Jesus' attention, many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. Pipe down. You're nothing. You're nobody. The best thing you can do right now is just stay out of the way. Anybody ever speak to you like that? Anybody ever make you feel like you weren't worth listening to, like you shouldn't have been heard, like your life didn't matter, like maybe the world would just be better off without you? Maybe you know what it's like to be disregarded by others, made to feel like you're a disappointment to others, made to feel like you're disposable to others. And sometimes those kinds of wounds come from some of the most difficult places, because they come from those places where we should be hearing the opposite, where we should be hearing how valuable we are and how loved we are and how much we matter. Maybe your parents made you feel worthless and disappointing and just in the way. Or maybe it's a spouse or a sibling or a friend, or maybe it's a job, right? Your job makes you feel that way. You got coworkers or a boss or maybe both who don't seem to have anything better to do than to find fault with you. And because of that, you find yourself struggling to retain any sense of value, any sense of worth. That's you. Let me just warn you about a danger to avoid. When we feel devalued, we go on a search for value. We look to fill up what's lacking, and it makes sense to do that. Who doesn't want to be valued? Who doesn't want to be valued? But too often we end up searching for value in all the wrong places. Maybe we look for value in a title. We begin to think, well, if I were boss myself, maybe if I had a title, maybe if I had more authority at work, maybe if I could just climb the ladder over those who despise me, maybe they'd respect me then. I don't want to disappoint you, but it's not likely. Or maybe it's letters before your name, like DR, Dr. Kent Duncan. I like the sound of that. I earned it, right? I worked hard for it. I got it. But I'm going to tell you that nobody who matters values me anymore because I got that title. I'd like to think I'm better equipped for my calling in Christ, but I am no more valuable. So whether it's DR before your name or PhD after, you're fooling yourself to think, if I just get to this place, then I'll have value. That's not the reason to get those letters. Or maybe the letters are MRS or MOM or DOD or DAD. DOD, that's Department of Defense, isn't it? Maybe if you think you just had the right relationship, right? The right boyfriend, the right girlfriend, the right husband, the right wife, the right child. Listen, nobody values relationship more than I do. And relationship is where it's at. Relationship is what makes the world go round. But the same relationship that brings you joy one day can bring you heartbreak the next. And as valuable as human relationships are, you need an even more stable base for your sense of worth. And besides that, with the right foundation for your own sense of value, you can come into relationships as a whole person, not bound by what you need to get, but freed by what you're able to give. Sometimes we try to find value in our possessions. If I just had the right car, if I just had the right house, if I just had the right clothes these days, if I just had the right phone. We all do it. My son-in-law came to the house the other day driving his brother's car. Oh, it was sweet. A little bitty sports car. It was awesome. And his brother was getting ready to sell it. And you know where I was, right? I mean, I was online. I was checking prices. Could I afford that? How much is that car supposed to be worth? Because I was thinking how cool I'd look driving that car. Now, we all know I wouldn't look cool. I'd look like an old man in a midlife crisis. Oh, now you're with me. Now you're with me. I know I'm too old for a midlife crisis unless I'm going to live to 120, right? I'm in a late life crisis. We all do it. Wow. Wow. Man, I am hurt. I am hurt. I didn't authorize that. You've all seen the Facebook bit, right? Of how you're going to look when you're older, right? My oldest son did that this week, and here was the result. That's just creepy, isn't it? That's just creepy. See, some of you find your value in the hope that you'll age gracefully. And some of us haven't got a prayer. Right? I'm just saying. Take that off. I can't look at that. I'm just saying. We look for value in a lot of places. A lot of places. But the only place we can find a truly enduring, reliable, accurate, trustworthy sense of our own value is what an unchanging, unfickle God says about us. And He has expressed the value He places on us in the life and death and resurrection of His Son, Jesus Christ, and in His offer of life and life everlasting extended to us in Christ. Nobody could be more valuable than you are in the eyes of our loving God. And that is where a sense of real and lasting value has to be established. If you're going to break out, I believe Bartimaeus did this in a world where he had no life. You've got to settle what you're worth and where you'll find your value. Settle what you're worth and where you'll find your value. I bet if you'd look at what God says about you, you're worth more than you've thought. So Jesus and His disciples are leaving Jericho. There's a crowd that's following them as they exit the town. And Bartimaeus, when he heard, everybody say, when he heard. Right? When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, began to shout, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Now, let me ask you this. I'll probably set you up for this. What is the one characteristic everybody knows about Bartimaeus? Come on. That he's blind, right? That he's blind. If you knew Bartimaeus and you were trying to describe him to me, that'd be the first thing you're likely to say. Well, you know, he's the blind guy. You might describe him as the beggar. You might just tell me what he's wearing that day or what color his hair is or how long it is or whatever. But the first thing you'd tell me about Bartimaeus was what he couldn't do. The first thing you'd tell me is that he can't see. Indeed, I'm betting it would never enter your mind if I said to you, I'm looking for Bartimaeus. Do you know him? Can you tell me about him? I'm betting it would never enter your mind to tell me, oh, he's that guy that hears. He hears real well. You're not going to say it, right? Oh, he's that guy who talks. He talks real well. When he wants to, he's got a voice louder than a crowd at a football game. Why? Because it's easiest to focus on what we can't do. And you'd do that describing Bartimaeus, and I'm betting most of you do that describing yourself. How we love to focus on what we can't do. How we love to focus on what we think we're incapable of, what we think holds us back. But my friend, listen to me. If you're going to break out, here's a principle you've got to remember. Don't sweat what you can't do. Just leverage what you can do. Don't sweat what you can't do. You can't do it. What good is it going to do to sweat it? Leverage what you can do. Bartimaeus could hear. Bartimaeus could speak. So he started toward his breakout by leveraging what he could do. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And when those around him told him to pipe down, he shouted all the more. He shouted, some translations say, all the louder. Newsflash, when you begin to break out, there's going to be somebody who doesn't like it. There's going to be somebody, when you begin to make waves, somebody's going to be unhappy that you're rocking the boat. You're going to mess up their convenient situation. You're going to remind them of who they could be and who they ought to be if they would chase a breakout themselves, what they ought to be doing instead of what they are doing. You're going to be moving ahead, and they're not going to be able to see through the cloud of dust you're kicking up in your face, in their faces, you're making tracks. They're going to ask you to pipe down. There are people who have given up on success for themselves and decided to concentrate instead on destroying success for anybody else. Instead of Gatorade, they're drinking Haterade. Julie Allen brought me a little plaque the other day. Well, aren't you a ray of pitch black? She wasn't saying that to me, just to be clear, because I'm full of sunshine all the time. There are voices in the face of which you will need to shout all the louder. If you're going to break out, you need to determine that this moment is yours and you're not going to let it slip by. My friend, Jesus was on his way out of town. Jesus was not on a stroll. He was not, you know, window shopping on an afternoon off. He was headed somewhere. He wasn't stopping. It was time for Bartimaeus to seize the moment. And when the crowd around Bartimaeus, and I'll just offer that some of y'all need to get a new crowd around you. When the crowd around Bartimaeus began to discourage his shouting, he shouted all the louder. He could hear, he could speak, so he stopped worrying about what he couldn't do, and he started doing what he could. Settle what you're worth, my friend, and where you'll find your value, and don't sweat what you can't do. Leverage what you can do. And when you know what you're worth and why, and when you're doing what you can with what you've got, I believe that's when things will begin to happen in the heavenlies that you cannot manufacture, that you cannot make happen in your own strength, because God is a God who responds to faith in action. He is, the Bible says, a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, who believe that he is, right? And the Bible says that Bartimaeus shouted all the louder, and when he did, Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Which I think is interesting. All these people tearing him down a minute ago. Now when they see this thing is going to fly, suddenly they want to be a part of the victory. Right? I mean, I know that everybody isn't that way, but sometimes those who seem to stand the most strongly against you, they're just fickle. I'm just telling you. And they end up being the ones who cheer you on the strongest. When you settle what you're worth and you do what you can do, people get to the place where they know it's the right thing. They'll get behind you and push. Throwing his cloak aside. I love this. The throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. Started to say, I don't have time to talk about everything I'd like to talk about this morning. I don't have time to talk about everything I've already talked about. But just know that when you've settled your worth and you've done what you can do, it's time to strip to the essentials. If you want to break out, you don't run the 100-meter wearing a backpack. You don't run the 100-meter wearing a hazmat suit, right? You downsize to the essentials. You strip away everything that isn't contributing to your victory in it. And it just occurs to me that some need to do that maybe in an unseen realm, in the spiritual realm, in the emotional realm, in the relational realm. You are carrying garbage that stopped serving any real purpose years ago. I don't know who I heard say it the other day, but if you've seen the movie Frozen, you know what you need to do. Say it with me. Let it go. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. This is the part where some of us get a little feisty, because we don't want to run to Jesus. Maybe we don't like some of the things that people who claim to follow Jesus have done, so we don't want to be associated with that. Or maybe we don't really like the idea of relying on somebody else to get to where we want to be. I want to be a self-made man. I want to be a self-made woman. I did it my way. You didn't know I could sing like that, did you? Wish you didn't now, don't you? I am a firm believer that if the breakthrough you are shooting for is big enough and bold enough and awesome enough to make you shout all the louder, to help you ignore what you can't do and do what you can do, and to inspire you to pare it down to the essentials because you know that more than anything else you might reach for, this is worth taking hold of. If your goal, if your dream, if your future is big enough and bold enough for all of that, you're going to want to partner with the one who made the heavens and the earth to get it done. You're going to want to partner with the one who formed you purposefully. You were formed on purpose for a purpose. You might have been a surprise. You were not an accident, all right? You're going to want to partner with the one who formed you in your mother's womb, the one who gave his life to redeem yours, the one who's promised to empower you for the life that he has called you to, the one who has promised to reward everything you ever did in his name for all eternity to come. You're not going to break out like you want to break out, like you were made to break out, apart from running towards Jesus with all of your heart. I challenge you to get a little Bartimaeus blood pumping through your veins, throwing his cloak aside. He jumped to his feet and he came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. That's a pretty wide open question Jesus asks, isn't it? What do you want me to do for you? I dare you to ask yourself that question and commit yourself to whatever the answer is. If Jesus, who's asking is important, if Jesus said to you, what do you want me to do for you? What would you say? Some of us spend our lives chasing trivialities because we've never dared to actually ask ourselves if we could have what we wanted. If the King of all creation said to us, what do you want me to do for you? We've never asked ourselves, what would we say? We've never taken seriously, we've never thought through what the answer to that question is when the answer comes from the King himself. And I propose to you that until you know the answer to that question, until you know how you would answer that question to Jesus, you don't know the reason you were formed. You don't know what your breakout is for, because the real purpose for your life will never be revealed. You will never really understand why you exist until you stand before the one who gave you life and hear him ask you, what do you want? The deal is, this isn't three wishes from a genie you've released from a magic lantern. This is God become flesh. This is eternity living before us. This is the one through whom all things were created and in whom all things exist. And something in my heart today says that part of the reason you might be living such a puny life, so much less than you're formed for, is because you've never let yourself become face to face with Jesus, face to face with the one who formed you and longs to redeem everything about your life and to fill everything about your life with purpose. If you're serious about breaking out, you've got to settle what you're worth and leverage your abilities and cut back to the essentials, and you've got to ask the real questions. The real questions. When you've done that, right, if Jesus says to you, what do you want me to do for you? You don't want to throw away that answer. Think about Bartimaeus. I don't know what life had robbed him of. I don't know what he dreamed about as he sat by the side of the road begging. I don't know what he imagined he might do if sight were ever restored to him. But I do know what he did when his sight was restored. The Bible says that when Bartimaeus answered Jesus' penetrating question, I want to see. Go, Jesus said. Your faith has healed you. And Bartimaeus says basically, well, no, I believe I'll stay. Jesus said, go, and immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. My contention is that Bartimaeus got what he wanted, but found even more. That in this brief encounter with Jesus of Nazareth, he discovered that what he really wanted was not his sight, but the sight giver. That what he really wanted was not just a return back to normal, whatever that was, whatever that might have been apart from Christ, whatever life he might have had if he hadn't lost his sight to begin with, but something bigger and something greater and something better to live for than he'd ever known before, seeing or not. And when his sight was restored, think about this, the first thing he saw was the one with the power to open blind eyes. Somehow he knew he'd found what he really wanted all along, which was a living relationship with God himself in the person of Jesus Christ. Because that's what he took hold of. He followed Jesus along the road. His life took a new direction because he'd found in Jesus a whole new purpose. It's almost like the question got reversed, and no longer was this about Jesus saying, what do you want me to do for you? But now Bartimaeus asking the Savior, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? And that, my friend, is the most powerful turn that your life can take. That turn where it is no longer about who you are and what you need, but about who he is and what he is doing and how you can possibly be a part of it. Stand with me, please. If you're happy confined, I probably don't have much to say to you today except to tell you that you were formed for more. But if you're serious about breaking out, settle what you're worth and where you'll find your value. Settle what you're worth and where you'll find your value. Don't sweat what you can't do. Leverage what you can do. Cut back to the essentials. What matters most? And dare to ask the real questions. And as you come to understand who he is and what he formed you for and all that he would do to bring that to all fruition in your life, set your heart to follow Jesus hard. Set your heart to follow Jesus hard. That's the real breakout. How many of you, I'm not asking for a show of hands, but I am asking you to examine your own heart. How many of you could use a real breakout? Come on, just be honest before God right now. You don't have to show me or anybody else, but I'm asking you to be honest with God. Could you use a real breakout moment? Could you use a real breakout season? Are you ready to step into it? Are you ready to listen close? Are you ready to cry out? Are you ready to strip down? Are you ready to do what you can and follow hard after him? He's present. He is the God, the Lord, who breaks out. He is the chain breaker. And I want us to respond today to the opportunity that he is giving us. I've asked the worship team to come back and lead us in the chorus we sang earlier this morning. And I'm asking you, maybe you'd just like to respond to the call of God on your life by finding a place around the front of this sanctuary. Sometimes something physical like that, right? I mean, that was true for Bartimaeus. He heard, he cried out. And when somebody said, pipe down, I'm not piping down, I'm not stopping short, he cried out all the louder. So maybe there's just something about saying, no, I'm not going to just stand here. I'm going to take physical action to show that I'm ready for God to break out in my life and through my life. And I want you to know that the opportunity is there. You come, we'll pray with you. We're not going to pester you, but I'd love to just lay hands on you, pray with you, believe God to break out in your life. I want us to respond to the living word of God this morning. Father, thank you that through the life, death, and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, you're ready to break out. You're ready to break out in us and through us. you're ready to take us to those moments where, as it were, blind eyes were opened and we see things we've never seen before. You want to take us to that moment where you stand before us in all of your holiness and righteousness and purpose, and you say to us, okay, what is it you want me to do for you? And in light of that question from you, we are able to understand what we were formed for, what you've called us to, and know that it is worth our very lives to pursue it with all of our being. And so this morning we say yes to you. We say yes to what you want to do in our lives. We say yes to following hard after you so that the breakout might occur in our life, in our days. As we respond in song and as we respond in prayer, we know, as we've already declared this morning, that you are here to do exactly what needs to be done. So we welcome your work in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God's dealing with your heart. I challenge you to come as the worship team leads us. Come on, let's pray together.